WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.
This is WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Whether you're a child, teen, young adult, or just young at heart, we hope to show you how amazing classical music is. You probably listen to classical music all the time. It's everywhere. In your favorite cartoons, TV shows, movies, video games, and so much more. During this show, you will enjoy lots and lots of wonderful classical music. Now, let's join our hosts as they get ready to take you on a musical journey into the world of classical music. Oh, we better go. I hear the orchestra getting ready for today's show.
Hello to everyone on this lovely day. I'm so excited to be here with Trevor Neal from the Newport Music Festival, who is back again this week to bring you exciting classical music for your children's enjoyment.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm so thrilled to join you and the rest of our listeners at home as we explore the world of classical music.
I'm sure everyone at home is just as excited as we are to get started today, but first, as always, let's thank our sponsors.
Of course. None of what we do here is possible without the generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust, the EJMP Fund for Philanthropy, and other generous supporters just like you. Thanks.
Now that we have thanked our very generous sponsors, Trevor, what exciting musical journey do you have for us today?
Jamie, today we will take a journey into the world of fantasy. Two pieces written by well-known composers with narration to go along with the music in the telling of two much-loved children's stories. What was your favorite story, Jamie?
Well, there's just so many to choose from, but I'm very partial to the story of the Three Little Pigs.
That's a good one for sure. It tells a very important story and of course addresses the dangers of dealing with big bad bullies like the wolf. You know, it's funny that you bring up the number three. Today's first selection also deals with the story of three unique animals. Do you know which story that is, Jamie?
Yes? I know this one, I think. Three little chickens?
Well, not quite. There are no chickens in this story, Jamie. There are three bears who lived in the woods. There was a big bear, medium bear, and a wee bear. One day, when they left their home, a little girl named Goldilocks walked into their home. The bears had made porridge. Goldilocks tried the big bear's porridge, but it was too hot. She then tried the medium bear's porridge, but it was too cold. Then she tried the wee bear's porridge, and it was just right. So she ate it all. Then she sat in all of their chairs. The big bear's chair was too hard. The medium bear's chair was way too soft. But the wee bear's chair was just right. So she sat there until the bottom came out. Goldilocks felt tired, so she went to the big bear's bed, but it was too high at the head. The medium bear's bed was too high at the feet, but the wee bear's bed was just right, so she fell asleep there. The bears returned home and realized someone had eaten some of their porridge. All of the wee bears. Sat in all of their chairs and broke the bottom out of the wee bears, and lied in all of their beds and was still in the wee bear's bed. Goldilocks did not hear the big bear's voice, but it sounded like thunder. The medium bear's voice sounded like a dream, but the wee bear's voice, shrill voice, woke Goldilocks up, and she saw the three bears sitting on the edge of her bed and ran out of the window. The bears never saw Goldilocks again. By composer Eric Coates, this is The Three Bears, A Fantasy.
Who's been sitting in my chair?
Goldilocks gets out of bed and dresses. She steals quietly downstairs. She stops to listen to the clock ticking. The clock strikes five. Goldilocks runs on her way.
Thank you.
Goldilocks reaches the bear's house. She knocks at the bear's door. The robin redbreast trills a warning. She goes into the bear's house. Enter the three bears. Who's been sitting in my chair? Upstairs. Where they discover Goldilocks in the small bear bed, fast asleep. She runs away, followed by the three bears. Catch their breath. The three bears become more out of breath. The three bears make the best of it and return home in the best of humor. Thank you. Goldilocks continues on her way back home. Tells her grandmama all about the three bears and how she fell asleep in the small bear's bed.
Wow, what an exciting presentation of an old great. It really speaks with such a dynamic piece of music behind it.
Well, if you like that one, you're going to love this next piece. Prokofiev writes in a way that presents instruments as different pieces of the story rather than just background music. His telling of Peter and the Wolf comes alive alongside this music. On the edge of the vast forest of Russia, where wolves still roam, lies a little cottage surrounded by a big, high fence. This is where Peter lives with his grumpy grandpa. Grandpa will not let Peter go into the forest. Peter has a friend, the lovable duck, with whom he hangs around grandfather's yard. A bird with a broken wing arrives in the yard. Bird is very impatient with Peter and signals to go into the forest. His heart beating fast, Peter tiptoes into the cottage and reaches over his sleeping grandfather and the snoring fat cat. Ever so carefully, Peter takes the keys to the gate. Peter has the time of his life playing in the forest with his friends. He helps Bird to fly, using the balloon and some rope. Then everyone skates on the frozen lake. Everyone, that is, except Cat. She chases Bird, but is so fat that she crashes straight through the ice and into the freezing water. Grandfather awakes and sees that Peter is in the forest. Very angry, he grabs his gun and rushes outside. He grabs Peter off the ice and drags him back into the yard. Suddenly, the forest goes quiet. Peter looks out through a hole in the fence and sees the wolf on the edge of the forest. Moments later, the wolf snatches up Duck, tosses her into the air, and swallows her in a big single gulp. Peter slings a heavy net over his shoulder and climbs up the tall fence and into the tall tree. Peter falls from the tree and the wolf attacks him. Eventually, after a fierce struggle, Peter catches the wolf. Grandfather drives into town with the captured wolf, Peter standing triumphant on top of the wolf's cage. The town bullies arrive and tease the defenseless wolf with a gun. Peter opens the cage and the wolf races back into the forest. This is Prokofiev's ever popular Peter and the Wolf.
Each character in this story is represented by a different instrument. The bird by the flute. The duck by the oboe. The cat by the clarinet. The grandfather by the bassoon. The wolf is represented by three hideous, nasty, ugly, smelly French horns. Scary. Peter is represented by the strings of the orchestra. And the rifle shots are represented by the timpani and the big bass drum. And so, if you're sitting comfortably and you're all relaxed, we can begin. Once upon a time, early one morning, Peter opened the gate and went out into the big green meadow. Branch of a big tree sat a little bird, Peter's friend. All is quiet, chirped the bird gaily. Just then, a duck came waddling around. She was glad that Peter had not closed the gate and decided to take a nice swim in the deep pond in the meadow. Seeing the duck, the little bird flew down upon the grass, settled next to her, and shrugged his shoulders. "What kind of bird are you if you can't fly?" he said. The duck replied, "What kind of bird are you if you can't swim?" and dived into the pond. Argued and argued, the duck swimming in the pond, the little bird hopping along the shore. Suddenly, something caught Peter's eye. He saw a cat crawling through the long grass. The cat thought, "The bird is busy arguing. I'll just grab her." Stealthily, she crept towards him on her velvet paws. "Look out," said Peter, and the bird immediately flew up into the tree. While the duck quacked angrily at the cat, from the middle of the pond, around and around the tree and thought, "Is it worth climbing up so high? By the time I get there, the bird will have flown away." Grandfather came out. He was angry because Peter had gone out into the meadow. "It is a very dangerous place," he said. "If a wolf should come out of the forest, what would you do?" But Peter paid no attention to his grandfather's words. Boys like him are not afraid of wolves. But Grandfather took Peter by the hand. He locked the gate and he led him home. No sooner had Peter left the forest than a big grey wolf did come into the meadow. In a twinkling, the cat climbed up the tree. The duck quacked, but in her excitement, she jumped out of the pond. But no matter how fast the duck tried to run, she couldn't escape the wolf. It was getting nearer and nearer, catching up with her. And then he got her, and with one gulp, swallowed her. And now, this is how things stood. The cat was sitting on one branch. The bird on another. Not too close to the cat. Thank you. and the wolf walked round and round the tree, looking up at them with greedy eyes. Peter stood behind the closed gate without the slightest fear, watching all that was going on. He ran home, got a strong rope, and climbed the big stone wall. One of the branches of the tree around which the wolf was walking stretched out over the wall. Grabbing hold of the branch, Peter lightly climbed over onto the tree. Peter said to the bird, "Fly down and circle around the wolf's head. Only please take care that he doesn't catch you." The bird almost touched the wolf's head with his wings, while the wolf snapped angrily at him from this side and that. Worry the wolf, how the wolf wanted to catch him. But the bird was cleverer than the wolf, and the wolf simply couldn't do anything about it. Meanwhile, Peter carefully made a lasso, letting it down. He caught the wolf by the tail and pulled with all his might. Feeling himself caught, the wolf struggled wildly, trying to get loose. The rope to the tree. And the wolf's jumping only made the rope around his tail tighter and tighter. Just then, the hunters came out of the woods. Following the wolf's trail and shooting as they went. Sitting in the tree said, don't shoot. Birdie and I have caught the wolf. Now help us take him to the zoo. Peter at the head. After Peter, the hunters leading the wolf. winding up the procession? Grandfather and the cat. Grandfather tossed his head discontentedly. Well, and if Peter had ne'er caught the wolf, what then? Above them flew little birdie, chirping merrily. My, what brave fellows we are, Peter and I. Look what we have caught. Listen very carefully. You can hear the duck quacking inside the wolf. Because the wolf, in his hurry, had swallowed her alive.
Well, Trevor, I don't know how you do it. Another week of amazing classical music for our audiences and for myself.
Thank you, Jamie. It's easy when I'm sharing something that I love with many people who tune in from home. Speaking of which, I would be thrilled to see everyone at Emmanuel Church in Newport for our holiday presentation, A Musical Christmas. I'll be singing along with many other of my friends who are also world-class musicians on December 7th at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., and December 8th at 3 p.m. Children pay just $5 to attend. For more information, our website is newportmusic.org.
That's awesome. Always a joy having you here, Trevor.
Thank you, Jamie. And thank you again to our sponsors, the Carter Family Charitable Trust, the EJMP Fund for Philanthropy, and generous supporters just like you for your continued support, helping bring programs like this into the home of our listeners week after week. Thank you.
See you next time, everybody.
Wow, that was so fun. I wonder what we'll hear next time. Thank you for listening to WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Gotta go. The concert hall doors are about to close. See you next time.
WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.